The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Philly, deep sixth. Harden hardly has it versus the Heat. Does he have what it takes to get back in it? Meanwhile, Luka, ludicrous. But is even his genius enough to keep Phoenix from rising from the ashes in the West? And then the hammer hits hard. Why the D-Hop news could reverberate across the entire NFC. All that and more. We're going to be busy. It's a Tuesday edition of Get Up, and it starts right now. And my cup runneth over. Take a look at the squad we put together today. Up to and including J.B. Bickerstaff making his first appearance with us here. Delighted to have you, coach of the Cavaliers and Legs and Tannenbaum and Diana Russini. And that's not all. The big swagoo is made to stop here with us this morning. And Brian Windhorst is ready to roll. And we begin legally with James Harden and the Sixers taking on the Heat. Game one, conference semifinals. No Joel Embiid. DeAndre Jordan getting the start at center, and that's just not a good thing.
Well, it's just, listen, if you're trying to replace a guy in Joel Embiid, who might be the MVP of the league, and their whole offense is predicated on his presence. It's a little bit of rough sledding there.
Instead, it turned into a lot of that. James Harden missing shots and turning it over, and Jimmy Butler on the other end.
He didn't have a big night offensively, but Miami selectively got out early and got some baskets. This game was very tight, though, throughout the first half.
Yeah, Sixers hanging in there. Harden, he has just 16 points on 5 of 13, but then the third quarter, the Heat start turning it on. P.J. Tucker, bam, Adebayo.
Yeah, this is where it got away from them. They spread the Sixers out. That ball screen action really hurting them, whether it was dives like that or the three-point shooting. Tyler Hero came in and separated the two teams.
Four threes off the bench for Hero. He was the hero last night, knocking down another here on a nice feed from Caleb Martin.
Yeah, there's a Steph Curry range here. 30-footer off the catch, late into the shot clock, and then want some love.
He had 25, and then again, the theme of these playoffs, turning defense into offense. Eventually, it'll be Hero, the recipient again. He had the big night off the bench, and the Heat take the game one win, 106-92. The story is James Harden. James, after the game, let's talk.
It's one game, but things can turn fast. So, you know, the sooner we can correct the things that we can control, the better off we'll be. Obviously, we're missing Joe, but, you know, it's out of our control, and we got to go out there and man up and be great. And I know we will do because we've been resilient, you know, so far.
All right, so look, the Sixers desperately need Embiid to return. His presence is the difference between their offense being the best in the league and being in the bottom five. And these playoffs, with him off the floor and Harden on, their rating drops nearly 12 points to 107, which would rank in the bottom five of the league, sandwiched somewhere between the Trailblazers and the Pistons. So let's give the coach the first crack at it here, JB. As you watch right now what the Sixers are trying to do without Joel Embiid on the floor, from a coach's perspective, what does it look like to you?
Well, obviously it's difficult, right? Because now you're trying to figure out how you transition from Joel being the center point of your offense to now we have to figure out another way to get it done. Got to find more spacing, got to find ways to create more movement to give guys more gaps to attack and then make plays for their teammates.
And Wendy, obviously the way to do that is by James Harden being James Harden. I guess the question, Wendy, is the James Harden that we have long known and loved, is that guy still in there someplace?
Yeah, the new normal is here, and we saw it in this game. When I talk to scouts, what they point is to a very basic stat. I know we have all these layers of stats, but we can just look at one thing. That's shot attempts. James Harden led the NBA in shot attempts in 2019 and 20. But let's just move off the Rocket years. Even when he was with the Nets this season, he averaged 17 shots a game. He's only averaged 13 since he's been with the Sixers. He had 13 in game one. And look, the Heat were trapping him. They were up on him. But if James Harden can't even get himself open to shoot more than 13 times a game, he can't provide the type of offense that the Sixers badly need in this series without Embiid.
What is it, Tim? When you watch Harden now, what is it?
What I said to you yesterday, I said if we start the show and the headline is James Harden and not Tyrese Maxey, that's a bad sign for Philly. You see the topic bar, what does it say? James Harden. Yeah. Because we're focusing on what he can't do. He had 12 ISOs in that game that led to 4 points. Think about what he would have done with 12 ISOs in Houston 3-4 years ago. Look, this is not an indictment against the player. It happens to all of us. It happens to all players, especially guards with the kind of usage rate that he had in Houston. He just doesn't win those matchups anymore, where he obliterates the guy in front of him, gets into the paint, makes people react to that, made him special. He has a hard time getting by guys now. So they needed last night Maxey to be sensational. He was just okay. Harden wasn't very good offensively. And then the last component, no three-point shooting. Look at their role players. Look at the night that Niang had, that Danny Green. Those guys have to make open looks to give Harden at least a little more space so he can win some of those matchups.
Coach, you were coaching in Houston when James Harden was there. Was at his absolute apex. When you watch him now, what do you see? What is it that James is now?
I think James is still the player we expect him to be. The question for him is now, how do you adjust to the three different rosters that he's played with over the past year and a half? His role was different in Brooklyn, trying to facilitate and make Kyrie and KD better players. He comes
what
in
here. What is it here? What do they need him to do here?
Well, now they need him to be aggressive, and now they need him to be aggressive early, and I think that's what we've seen. Less half-court basketball, more advanced passes, early drag, so he can get the ball downhill early in the clock.
But when we're talking about the ISOs, I mean, Legler just brought up all these ISOs. I get that his role has changed, but at the end of the day, just to someone who just watches the game and ever coached it or played it, it looks like he just can't get around people anymore the way he used to. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, you're seeing that, but what you're seeing is how teams are defending him. You look on the floor and they're bringing multiple bodies to him. They're forcing him to either play against two guys or give it up. So his move has been that step back three, which he's been able to knock down with consistency. He's just struggling to make that shot now.
And I'm also finding, I believe, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt on the contact on some of these drives anymore. And it's almost like when he was elite, leading the league in scoring, when he was that player, that level player, he got a lot of those guys riding his hip, a little bit of arm contact on the way to the rim. I
mean, you're talking about he's getting the call.
Yes, he's not getting those at the same rate that he did before. And so now a lot of those finishes look awkward. They look like he's just throwing something up there because I think he's anticipating getting that call. He's not getting it at the same rate. And his step back three is not going in at the same rate, which means you don't have to be up on your toes as much. That also would make him quicker. Guys aren't as worried about him beating them with that shot because he's just not going in at the same rate. So, and again, it's a guard in his 30s he's dribbled the ball 2 million times in the last 10 years in the league. It's a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Wendy, I know you. As this game is going on, you're on the phone with half the league. What are those people saying as they're watching James Harden now?
They say you put DeAndre Jordan out there, a guy who the Heat have no issues with leaving alone altogether. And so the best screener that you have on the floor to set James Harden free with screens, it just invites a double team. So even if you take him out of ISO and you go to the classic pick and roll where he can, you know, work out of, because there's no Embiid there to respect, they really have no issue in just double-teaming him. They double-teamed him 9 times last night. And if it was a closer game, they would have double-teamed him even more.
You know, there's an expression that, you know, we don't make excuses in sports. And so I've tried to counter that by saying some things are not excuses. They're reasons. You lose Joel Embiid in a series like this, Tim. I mean, someone look at that and say, well, they're making an excuse. No, they're not. That's the reason. They can't beat these guys without Joel Embiid, right?
Correct. And Winnie makes a great point. And so in Harden's defense, let's take a look at the coverages last night. When you have a ball screen dive guy that's not respected, you know what that means? It means the defender, the screener, is crowding Harden. Even on situations where the ball was swung and he was thinking about going, that top guard was halfway over to him just to make him think if you come this direction, there's nowhere to go because the threats on the court just aren't there. Now, Maxey can be special some nights. He's 21 years old. He's not going to be special every night. And last night, Tobias Harris was very good. They needed Maxey because he's the guy that can break down defenses and win individual matchups. And he was just okay. And then again, 6-for-34 from the three. That's not offering James Harden any support whatsoever.
Game 2 will be tomorrow night. So, Coach, a little later in this hour, I'm going to ask you to make the one adjustment, the one change that a coach can make for the Sixers, the Doc can make, in order to get them
good
back
luck
in the series. Meanwhile, Legs, let's take a quick look at what happened last night in Phoenix, if we can, because Luka Doncic was sensational. Suns Mavs game one. First quarter, Mavs are down 14. And Devin Booker is playing defense. Jalen Brunson's going to get a nice dish, and Booker's not having it.
It's the best team in the league by a wide margin on both ends of the floor. They get it done. And you see Devin Booker right there saying, hey, Jalen Brunson, it's not going to be like it was in the last round against Utah.
He got called for a tech. Then take a look at this. You got Jay Crowder kind of kicking Luka Doncic in the ding-ding.
And sure then, did. I mean, hitting the speed bag there. That's, you know, you got a guy down for the count.
And Draymond tweets, I've been ejected for less, which is true. Later in the second, Luka was spectacular.
And he really, at no point, looked uncomfortable. So if anything bodes well out of this game, it's Luka Doncic went where he needed to on the floor, did not have a lot of resistance in getting to his spots.
He would score 45, but the Suns just had too much. That was Chris Paul, and this is going to be DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, and this is the difference right now between the two teams, because we talked about the threat the Sixers don't have in the middle as a big. Well, this guy took 20 shots. He dives with a purpose to finish plays. Dallas plays small lineups. DeAndre Ayton is going to be a problem the whole series.
And then how about JaVale McGee with the steal and the slam? Larry Fitzgerald loves what he sees. Chris Paul would score 19 in just 29 minutes. You know things are going your way when that one goes in. The Suns take it 121-114. They take the 1-0 lead in the series. Look, they were the best team by far this season. They won 64 games. So far in these playoffs, they've shot over 50% in all seven of their games. That's tied for the second longest streak in the shot clock era. The only streaks that are comparable were done by the Showtime Lakers in 84 and 86. That's good company to keep. All right, much more hoops as we go. Let's get to the NFL and the huge news yesterday in Arizona. Star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins has been suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drugs policy. The league announcing that yesterday. Now, in a statement posted to Twitter, Hopkins said he was confused and shocked that this test, which was done in November, came back with trace elements, saying, I'm very mindful of what I put in my body, have always taken a holistic approach, but even as careful as I've been, clearly I wasn't careful enough. So let me start with my insider extraordinaire, and that's Diana Russini. Let's start with this. While he says he has no idea how it happened, he's dropped his appeal.
Yes,
yep. So he's going to be suspended for these 6 games.
Yes, correct. So he's dropped the appeal, which, you know, is basically admitting that something went awry, right? So he's going to miss 6 games of the regular season. He'll be able to participate during the preseason in the summertime, but as soon as that regular season starts, he's not going to be allowed to be in the building. But I think the big question a lot of people were asking was, how much did the Arizona Cardinals know about this before the start of the NFL draft on Thursday? Mm-hmm. And from what I can gather, they were well aware. Usually in this process, teams are made aware of a problem, especially because it was going back all the way to November. So the team knew this was coming down. It just became public yesterday.
And so to that point, maybe that informs their aggressive move to send a first-round pick to Baltimore to get Hollywood Brown.
It absolutely could be a factor in why they made that trade.
All right, so then let me get to Marcus here before I go anywhere else. Swagoo, no D-Hop now for the first 6 games of the season. We saw how they fell off precipitously when he missed the last, was it 6 games of last season as well, and then into the playoffs. So what does this mean for a team that there was a moment in time last year, Marcus, was thinking Super Bowl thoughts?
Yeah, G, you're exactly right with the question, man. They are trying to change the narrative that they can't finish, but this is the hindrance to the start. And I believe we could absolutely see the Arizona Cardinals struggle out of the gate without D-Hop, unless Cliff Kingsbury and this offense figure something out. To your point, last year when D-Hop left out with injury, this offense couldn't get going. We started actually having questions about Kyler Murray and how good was he really, and how good was he in this offense with the Arizona Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins. We know DeAndre Hopkins is one of the elite receivers, but now Cliff Kingsbury has minicamp, he has training camp to figure out an offense without DeAndre Hopkins to get them to the point where he comes back. And Diana absolutely is right about how she reported with Hollywood Brown. It absolutely had everything to do with that. Because remember, Christian Kirk departed and went to Jacksonville. They would have had a roster without a guy I believe they thought was a legit number one wide receiver to start a third of the season off this year.
And so, Mike T, let me then turn to you as my general manager here, sort of from a team-building perspective. This has a lot of reverberation, and one of the places it goes directly is to the quarterback, Kyler Murray. We've seen that he's already in a place where he's talking about wanting his contract done. We saw all the machinations that went on with the agent. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to play the first third of the season without his best target.
Yeah, and this changes, Green, the way they're going to play offense. They have really small receivers. Rondell Moore and Hollywood Brown, they have A.J. Green, but he's fading. They could run the ball with James Conner. They drafted Trey McBride, re-signed Zach Ertz. So, Greeny, if I am Kyler Murray, I'm scared to death that we're going to run the ball more, and I want a new contract. That is not a good situation for a quarterback to be in.
To be clear, for those who don't know, Trey McBride is a tight end out of Colorado State that people really like a lot, and you add him to Zach Ertz. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about playing, you know, what they call 12 personnel, right, the big tight ends and all right. that kind of stuff, and running the ball, which is the opposite of what Cliff Kingsbury has always done and the opposite of what Kyler Murray does. Yeah. But, Diana, where does this leave Murray? You know, I feel like we kind of – have moved past the agent thing.
Yeah, because it was big news during the combine, right? Because that's when his agent, Eric Burkhart, made it very public. We want to be paid, and we kind of quieted down. That hasn't changed. They still are looking for a contract. And from what I can gather, having a few conversations over the last few weeks, Kyler Murray isn't going to play until a contract is done. So what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to hold out? Does that mean they're going to request a trade? These are things that all could happen between now and training camp. This is on the table. It's the reality, and the Arizona Cardinals are well aware. I know Eric Burkhart got a lot of criticism for how he handled this, going so public and putting out that memo. But at least the Cardinals know exactly where he stands in this, and so do the rest of the world.
Well, see, so Marcus, let's go back. Let's retrace our steps. We had the traditional 2022 taking them off social media, right? That's what started. Kyler Murray first, he takes them off all his social media. Then the agent comes out with the practically unprecedented, he wants a new contract, and he wants it for you. And if the team doesn't give it to him, it's because they don't want him the way he wants you and all the rest of it. And then we kind of forgot about all of that. But Diana's saying it hasn't gone away. So what does all of that mean, Swaggo?
Well, the first thing it means is Kyler Murray last year when DeAndre Hopkins was out, as we coming off DeAndre Hopkins, struggled. And the Arizona Cardinals has to figure out, too. Like, they have to continue the team build as well. So this contract is a little bit more complicated than I think everybody realizes. We just pointed out, you brought Hollywood Brown in on a trade. You had to pay him. DeAndre Hopkins is already paid. A.J. Green is aging. You're going to have to start filling this roster out going forward. But with Kyler Murray's particular situation, I think this gives him more of a leverage point when it comes to players and who's the best player on your team. Because when you look at the Arizona Cardinals now and you think about the landscape of the quarterback market, period, we got Jimmy Garoppolo and Baker Mayfield on that market right now. If they get rid of Kyler Murray, who the hell they going to go get, G?
Right. Yeah.
They got to pay him.
That's right. So Mike T, again, what do we do here? If you're them now, what are we doing?
Yeah, I would get the contract done ASAP, and inverse screening is this. If I'm Kyler Murray, I think to myself, would I rather be in Philadelphia with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and a great offensive line? So if I'm Arizona, I want to solve this problem. To Diana's point, like, it kind of went quiet. It didn't go away. So I want to get this done ASAP because, as Swaggu just said, the alternatives are not good.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like we pulled back a lot of layers here to the Arizona Cardinals. This is a team that we've been so excited in this offseason, heading into the new season, because of what we saw from their offense. And they went from flying high to now flying pretty flat with DeAndre Hopkins missing those first six games. We're talking about a change in their offense. And I don't think I'm overstating that Cliff Kingsbury is on a very warm seat. You know, this is a year he needed to prove. So there's a lot on the table for this team.
Let me make sure I have this right, though. When Kyler Murray demanded an extension, didn't they immediately extend the coach and the general manager
the
quarterback?
It was the same day.
So, I mean, that sort of...
And the agent represents the head coach.
Gave you some indication of where that whole thing is going, right?
Yeah, and again, I think Swaggoon makes a great point, though. If I'm the Cardinals, my alternatives are awful. So I want to get this deal done ASAP because I have a much better chance to win with Kyler Murray than anybody else on the planet right now. But if I'm Kyler Murray, I got to start thinking, like, I got two really small receivers. We're probably going to run the ball a lot more for a third of the season. Is this the best situation for me?
Marcus, I have 15 seconds. Put a little ribbon on this, and I'm coming back to it. How's this going to play out with Kyler?
G, the bottom line is Kyler Murray has to get paid because Arizona has no other alternative. Hmm. And the other side of this is Kyler Murray has to overcome and not let this offense fall off a cliff without DeAndre Hopkins being in there. Because we could talk about how bad the offense has struggled, but that is what has happened.
All right, let's put a pin in that. We're coming back to this. There's obviously so much there. But, oh, by the way, the Stanley Cup playoffs began last night. ESPN and ESPN2, your home for the entire journey. And one of those making that trip is Connor McDavid. The Oilers taking on the Kings in Edmonton. The spectacular McDavid. Just look at the speed. 1, 2, 3, 4 defenders can't stop him. That's McDavid's 12th career playoff goal. And the Oilers get it back within one goal there. They'd been down 2-0. That made it 2-1. Halfway now through the second, Oilers trailing 3-2 when they're on, pardon me, on the power play. McDavid's going to throw it out in front, and that's Leon Draisaitl controlling it and with way too much time to shoot, and he knots it in there to knot it up. We're all even at 3. Under 6 minutes remaining in the third. Same score. The goalie, Mike Smith. That's a bad turnover. Now, he recovers, makes a diving save, but in the end, it's Philip Deneau who's there in the right place, right time for the redirect and the score. Take another look. Kings go up 4-3 on the redirect. They take game one. By that final, the 1-0 lead will have the rest of your hockey as the morning continues. All right, just getting rolling. Coming up, James Harden feels the heat in a big way. Tim Legler will show you exactly how Miami shut him down last night. Plus, fly, Eagles fly after a huge trade. Is Philly now the team to beat in the NFC East rather than Dak and the Cowboys? Can't wait to hear Swagoo's thoughts. We're rolling. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back. It's time for Get Your Eyes Checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Diana Russina, I just wanted to see what happened here in Cleveland.
All right.
So this guy's catching a foul ball, and then that happens.
Two big mistakes. One, he didn't catch the ball. And secondly, he obviously spilled the beer on what looks to be like a friend, a date, perhaps maybe a wife. But the best part of this whole thing is the reaction. She smiles like she's been here before. Like, is this something they've done? Does he always spill beer on her? You know, so good for her for having a good attitude about it. I wouldn't have been so psyched.
Yeah, she's chill after that.
Especially wearing a white shirt.
I like it. Coming up, the heat is on James Harden after a game one struggle. Legler will show you why this may not get better quickly. That's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and if you were just joining us, we opened with James Harden and the Sixers taking on the Heat in South Beach early, and it was a tough night for Harden, James, Tim Legler, as they were all over him defensively.
Yeah, I mean, Miami basically taking the position without Joel Embiid. They're going to force other people to have to beat them, load up on Harden as much as they can.
And turning defense into offense there with Jimmy Butler. Meanwhile, Tyler Hero was really the hero in this game, coming off the bench with 25 points and 7 assists, knocking down threes everywhere you look. Adebayo to Hero here as they turn the defense into offense again. And it was Miami with a convincing second half, 106-92. We'll show you Hero knocking down one of his 4 threes. So again, Miami takes game one, and in the absence of Joel Embiid, major struggles for the Sixers. And Tim Legler, who I, for my guy, running for office, we'd have a podium all of a sudden working here.
Just like high school, free chocolate milk for everybody in the cafeteria.
But you were going to show us specifically what you mean when you talk about what they're doing against Harden.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier, just winning that matchup in front of him to create situations where now he can take advantage, and the defenders have to make decisions. He's not winning those. Here's a first example, and you see James, he comes down, he's just going to let guys clear out. Now, this hurts him a little bit right here because this is a non-threat on the strong side. So that means right off the bat, you can just stay on the edge of the lane, and you can see the way that they are loaded up. I mean, this is what James Harden is looking at. He sees five defenders in the lane, and when he sees that and he's got a non-shooter to the right side, that means he's going to do something predictable. And you can see, this is why I wanted to illustrate this. I mean, this is just a defender that should not be able to do this. Strus is already anticipating he's not going by him. So watch his hand come out well before James Harden goes to release this ball, which gives him a great contest up top. And that's a very difficult shot. And again, it's all correlated to the fact that he can't blow by. This one I love. Now, this is PJ Tucker. Obviously, PJ Tucker's a great defender, but he does it more with physical strength, Greedy. Normally, when James Harden would see a defender with his top foot up, his weight up high, right? James Harden is going to destroy this and get into the paint. And now the options are there when you make these other defenders react to you. And when they do that, you've got kickouts here, potentially a kickout to the opposite corner. Or how about James Harden just getting to the rim and finishing? The problem is, Greedy, he doesn't win this. And watch what PJ Tucker does. He bottles him up. So when James Harden starts to go, he ends up stopping, loses the ball, goes the other way. And then this last one I think is maybe the best illustration of all. This is a center switching out, albeit an elite defensive center. It's still a center. And this is what I'm talking about. Again, Bam Adebayo's top foot is up. James Harden needs to go back and forth with this dribble. And then at some point, he puts on the jets, and this guy's in his rearview mirror. And now you can force weak side reactions that are going to make your shooters part of the game. The problem is he doesn't win this. He can't go by the center. So as a result, again, a very difficult contested step back three, because he's not creating that situation where now it's 5-on-4, and now I'm going to force weak side help, makes me a better passer or a better finisher, and he's not beating those guys.
So it's really two problems. On one level, it's the defense they're able to play in the absence of Embiid. On another level, it is just Harden's inability to beat the man that is guarding him. It used to be he's already thinking about the second guy. It's the first guy now who's giving him trouble.
And what I used to see is he'd go back and forth 6-8 times
right,
to really get your weight off balance. Now it's like 3, and he goes to something else, because he's going to end up playing with the ball too long without that last gear to go by people. And I think this is what you get, an inefficient player when you can't win that matchup.
All right, we're going to get Coach in here a little bit later in the show to sort of figure out what they can do to change things. Meanwhile, let's try and figure out what the Celtics can do to bounce back after they were handled pretty easily in their own building by the Bucks in game one. Giannis Antetokounmpo dominating in so many ways, despite not having a great shooting day. In fact, it was his third worst shooting day in his playoff career. He's still had a triple-double. He was so effective. Jason Tatum, meanwhile, shot just 33%. The team made only 10 two-point field goals in the game, which is the second fewest in any playoff game of all time. And then a huge decision is looming. Marcus Smart, who's such an incredibly important piece of that team and the defensive player of the year, he is questionable with a quad injury. He missed 6 games in January with that injury. Again, JB is here, but I want to bring in Wendy first. What do we know, Wendy, about the status of Marcus Smart for tonight's game two?
Yeah, he is listed as questionable. In listening to Ime Udoka, the coach, yesterday, it sounded like it was trending toward a game-time decision. They're going to see how he feels when he warms up. Greeny, I would be very surprised if Marcus Smart does not play in this game. I think he will go. The question is, how effective is he going to be moving? Because this isn't a pain tolerance issue, but a restricted movement issue. This is the playoffs. No mercy. You know, as soon as he gets out on that court tonight, the Bucks are going to run him through some screens and test it out.
Okay, so there's one thing you never question about him. It's the toughness, right? You love him, you hate him, but you respect the toughness. So J.B. Bickerstaff again, head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers and a lifer in every conceivable way. Let's talk about the adjustment you make now if you're Boston. That big lineup with Portis starting alongside Antetokounmpo and Lopez for Milwaukee, it clearly caused all kinds of problems for Boston. Give me the coaching adjustment that the Celtics make tonight in game two.
They got to create more off-ball movement. What the Celtics have done in the past has been a very good isolation basketball team. With that size that the Bucks have, they've been able to load and just stand and protect the paint and shrink the floor. So put the ball in your big guy's hands, create some two-sided movement, see if you can cause some mistakes on the defense.
It's interesting because that's similar to what people were telling me that the Nets needed to do throughout that series against the Celtics, and they never were really able to do it. And people would tell me it's because that's kind of playing against type. That's not what they do. They give it to Durant and Kyrie and let them create. Similarly here, that's kind of what the Celtics do, right? They give it to Tatum, let him find something. Give it to Brown, let him find something. How do you play against type if that's not generally what you do offensively?
It's difficult, and that's why the Bucks have been preparing for this moment the entire season. They've done a great job of switching. They understand how to play with length. That's why they're the defending world champs, because they've gotten so good at it, and they know it's difficult for teams to make those adjustments in the playoffs.
Help me with this, Legs. How do they do that? Because I will admit to being stunned by what I saw in that game one. Boston's just complete inability to find any offense against Milwaukee.
They've got to, off their initial action, when those guys, either one of those guys are ISO and running ball screen, they've got to get the ball hopping to the other side out of the initial action. They typically like to come off and then go. Once you get the ball moving and now you get Milwaukee's bigs rotating out of that, when the ball then changes sides of the floor back in their hands, they're probably going to be operating against a closeout defender. Now you can get to a pull-up 18-footer because the mid-range has to be part of this equation. And, JB, I just thought, if you're going to take 50 threes, right, and a far fewer percentage of twos, you don't have a chance to beat a team like Milwaukee. There's got to be greater balance in that, but you can't do it the way that you normally do against this type of length. You're going to have to get those guys chasing the ball a little bit.
And then, Wendy, I want to talk about Giannis. You were on yesterday when Big Pert came on here, and he made, I think, a pretty big statement. He said, as he watches Giannis now, he's getting LeBron in Cleveland vibes, which is to say that the East is going to run through that guy for a decade. I mean, LeBron ruined a lot of people's careers for a decade by owning the East. Are we ready to say Giannis is reaching that level right now?
Absolutely. I had flashbacks sitting in the TD Garden on a Sunday afternoon playoff game, watching a really great Celtics team have trouble with a transcendent player who didn't even play his best game, yet still made all of his teammates better in one. You know, LeBron repeatedly went up into the Celtics against great teams. Sometimes he won and sometimes he lost, but he always kept his team in the game because of his multi-talented ability. That is where Giannis is, and Giannis as a defender is probably at a higher level than LeBron even ever was.
Let me get a quick take from you on that, Legs. I mean, some might say, my goodness, we're comparing him to a Mount Rushmore player, which is what LeBron James is. Is it a reasonable comparison?
I don't have a problem with it whatsoever. You think about this, this doesn't bode well for Boston. I think it's probably the worst offensive game he's going to have in this series was in game one, and they still won. He missed 16 shots in that game, had 5 turnovers, and missed 5 free throws, and was still by far the most dominant player on the floor.
All right, we'll have more hoops as we go. Meanwhile, let's continue our journey towards the Stanley Cup, the chase for the Cup, the playoffs on ESPN and ESPN2. Maple Leafs last night hosting the 2-time defending champion Lightning. Second period, Leafs leading 1-0, a 5-on-3 advantage, and it's Austin Matthews, the one-timer, and he buries it. He led the league in scoring with 60 goals this year. 2-0 Leafs. Third period, it's 4-0. Toronto dumping. We'll have the misplay here in front, and it's Matthews there. Right place, right time. Great hustle from Matthews. Right where he needs to be. 2 goals for the star. 5-0 the final. The Leafs take game one over the defending champions, and the playoffs continue tonight. 4 series getting underway. Pens Rangers at 7, followed by the Avs and Predators. That's on ESPN. On ESPN2, Caps Panthers, followed by the Stars and the Flames. The road to the Cup is on. Coming up, fly Eagles fly after a huge trade. Is Philly now the team to beat in the NFC East rather than Dak and the Cowboys? Swagoo weighs in right after this. Get Up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up. Before we go forward, let's play a game of dope or nope. Diana, this is okay. Russell Westbrook's outfit last night at the Met Gala. Was this dope or nope?
I'm going to say nope just because it looks like Mary Poppins. Like it looks like the exact same outfit.
So just to be clear, Swagoo, it's a top hat and a skirt. Your take.
Gee, where I'm from would never allow this to be dope, and that is South Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So, listen, I understand taking fashion forward and all of that, but ain't nothing about this dope.
Tannenbaum, did he borrow that from your closet? Is that what I'm led to believe here?
And hence, I don't have my top hat for today's show.
I just figured it out.
He the Anyone next, else think he needs a monocle?
He the next,
you know, like
that
the,
way, that's the perfect the addition.
Next bowl.
He looks like a Monopoly piece.
He the next bowl on Bridgerton.
That's exactly right. All right, let's go to Philly here and get back to some football conversation. It has been many years since the Eagles had a true number one receiver. This week, Howie Roseman, the general manager in Philly, changed that, trading for the Titans' A.J. Brown to pair with second-year wideout Devontae Smith. And that had Dan Orlovsky saying this on Get Up yesterday.
They're the division favorites. But Greeny, they were the division favorites before the draft for me. I had felt because of what had happened with Dallas in this offseason, I liked the Philadelphia Eagles beforehand. But getting a player like A.J. Brown is a massive deal. The Eagles haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since 2014. Now we're talking about one of the better young receivers in the league. I think because of this addition, the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East.
Swagoo, that's your boy. What do you think?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here we go again, huh? Here we go again. Here we go again. I went through it last year with you, G. And I told you. All offseason, a team make a move, and we forget that Dak Prescott is clearly the best quarterback in the NFC East. It blows my mind to think that A.J. Brown coming over to Philly with all of the questions about who Jalen Hurts will be going forward, somehow Philly becomes the favorite in the division. Now, could they win it? Absolutely they could. But that's all predicated on Jalen Hurts' development. You have all the receivers in the world you want. You better get them the ball at a high clip. I think Jalen will progress. I think he'll be good. But Dak Prescott still got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup.
So your point, and I agree with it, is that Jalen Hurts' ceiling is probably still not Dak Prescott. I get that. But the question, Marcus, is can he be good enough with this array of talent around him? The running back is good. The tight end is good. The receivers are now elite. They made some moves on the offensive line. Can he be good enough to put this team over the top in the division?
Gee, I think that's the question everybody has. Honestly, like if you think about the move for A.J. Brown, Devontae being drafted last year, this is Jalen Hurts is in a year like Tua Tagovailoa. I think both of those guys are in almost identical years when you start talking about what their teams or what their respective organizations have done in order to set them up for success. There is no better way to set your quarterback up for success than to go get a guy like A.J. Brown, who you don't have to throw the ball 50 yards down the field every time for him to have success or for it to look like it has success. Mm-hmm. But back to the question at hand, right? Jalen Hurts, we know, is in a year where he's going to have to prove it. But everybody forgets about defense. Who was the best defense in the NFC East last year, G?
Well, I mean, Dallas, who we thought that was going to be their enormous weakness, they obviously took a huge step forward with Micah Parsons leading the way, and we'll see if they're able to do it. But I don't think with Dallas you rest your – sort of hang your hat on the defense. It's still mostly about the quarterback. It is fascinating, by the way, the comparison. Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, similar situations. One-time college teammates actually both played in a national championship game scenario. But, Diana, how about it? In Philly, they have high hopes. That's an enormous acquisition they make there, obviously. Eagles right now the team in the NFC.
Look, I appreciate General Lasky's simple statements. You know, this is the same guy who eats his chicken plain, nothing on it, right? and I think this take is simple because he's just reacting. Marcus, I don't mean to pile on your guy there, but, you know, I think this is seeing an aging Brown name, seeing a 24-year-old receiver who hasn't even hit his prime and think, oh, my gosh, this offense is going to be electric. They're going to have to completely change the identity of their offense on top of the fact that we haven't even seen if Jalen Hurts can perform to the level. Yes, the pieces are there. And I would say of any quarterback in the league, the pressure is on Jalen Hurts the most because GM Howie Roseman has now put together a roster that should be successful, and it's going to come down to whether or not Hurts can do it.
Can I take the other side of this and defend our buddy Monday Dan for just a moment here? And Mike Tannenbaum, is there a better 1-2 punch in the NFL right now when you consider how different they are, how different their skill sets are, than A.J. Brown, the enormous physical presence that he is, and then Devontae Smith, the small and quick and dynamic player? I mean, that's an elite pair of receivers. It's not just good. They're not just good. They may be the best combination in the league. Plus, they can run it. Plus, they've got the tight end. I would argue Jalen Hurts doesn't have to be anything but average, and I think he is capable of being average.
And while that may be true, I agree 1,000% with Swagoo, which is Jalen Hurts can't get the ball down the field. As Hembo pointed out, 48% of his throws went beyond the sticks. That was 23rd in the league. So, Green, they could have a track team out there, but if he can't get the ball down the field consistently, it won't matter.
Well, to quote my friend J.J. Redick, that's because he was throwing it to plumbers and firemen. He's got much better receivers.
But this is
Marcus?
What Mike T and Diana, this is what G and Dan is going to do until the season comes. Oh, look at the Eagles. Last year was them. Taylor Heineke was going to lead the Washington football team at the time, which is now the Washington Commanders. Now, Jalen Hurts has a new epiphany. He can throw it like Tom Brady down the field. They want to go. They want it so bad. They want the Cowboys to lose so bad that people are doing things we've never seen them do. Never seen them do. They gonna do it this year. I'm sick of it. I'm not gonna fall in the trap. This is my last time getting emotional about it. Dak Prescott, best quarterback in the NFC East. That's the favorite right now.
The first thing Marcus said that was wrong in this entire conversation is that it's the last time he's going to get emotional about it. I'm going to make you emotional about it from now until the fall, big fella. Get used to it. Meantime, let's go to Green Bay next. The Packers, once again, did not select an offensive player in the first round of the NFL draft because that's who they are. They did take that guy early in the second. He's wide receiver Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. Now, anyone you talk to will tell you he has extraordinary ability. He's big, he's fast, he's talented, but when you consider the program he's coming from and everything else, it's probably unreasonable to expect him to step in and all of a sudden be Devontae Adams as a rookie. Like, that's just not a reasonable expectation. So, Swagoo, I'll come back to you first again. Are the Packers right now as constituted capable of making a Super Bowl run with what they have around Aaron Rodgers on that offense?
Yes, I believe so, G, and it's because you said Aaron Rodgers. For us, we wanted to see them get a wide receiver, and me personally, I thought they should have packaged the first round picks up to go get one of the guys that we considered elite. But when you think about what Aaron Rodgers has done with Jordan Nelson and Greg Jennings and obviously Devontae, seeing him, you would think that there's a type of guy that they identified that can come in this offense and have success because of who their quarterback is. And ultimately, when you look at this team and Aaron Rodgers' contract, he's going to have to elevate the level of play. The one thing that gives me pause, G, is that last year, the playoffs, Devontae Adams was going crazy in the first half. They took Devontae Adams away, and this offense went away completely. Mm-hmm. And we focus on how bad Aaron Rodgers played or whatever, but ultimately it was because it was a shift that they would have needed to make offensively that they could not. So the rapport that he's going to build with these young wide receivers, adding and implementing more of the run game with Dylan and Aaron Jones is going to be imperative. And Green Bay is not crazy. And I tell people this all the time. I fought this tremendously when we was having this conversation about Aaron Rodgers having weapons. That defense is going to help them win a championship if they're going to get there too. And they approached it the right way, I believe.
Diana, let me ask you then about options, because they've got Christian Watson. They've already lost. They lose Marquez Valdes-Scantling, excuse me, as well as Devontae. Are there other moves that they can still make here to add another threat as a receiver?
They could. It doesn't seem like that's the direction they're going to be going in. Could they possibly be in contact with like an Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry? Yes, those are free agents out on the market. But, you know, to what Marcus is saying, I think when you look at it on paper, you think, gosh, are they doing enough to give Aaron Rodgers weapons? Yes, he is going to make those three receivers right now, including Lazard, right, look like Pro Bowlers. It's the run game that has been improved. And Marcus touched on it really quickly at the end, and I think this is something that we're not focused on enough. This Green Bay Packers defense, with what they have, with Kenny Clark, with this rookie, they have one of the best secondaries in the league right now. Yeah. That's what's going to carry the Green Bay Packers over. I know it's not sexy. I know you want me to say they need to go after Dan Orlovsky had the idea on your show yesterday, Marcus. Dan Orlovsky said, let's go, you know, the Packers should be calling the Arizona Cardinals.
They should.
Get DeAndre Hopkins.
They should.
That's sexy. That would be big.
No, it's smart.
Well, everybody
should. It would be smart to do
everybody
that.
Everybody should be.
What should they be doing right now, Mike?
Well, it started on Saturday. They should be calling Odell Beckham Jr. from the draft room. He was the best player on the field in the Super Bowl before he got hurt. There is a lot of tread left on that tire. They greatly improved that defense. Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, Jaire Alexander's coming back. They re-signed Devondre Campbell. That defense is a championship defense. They need another element on offense. I agree. Christian Watson will be there over time, but go get Odell Beckham and sign him today, manage his rehab, and bring him into the system, because if they have Beckham, they're helping themselves and they're hurting the Rams.
All right, I'm going to leave it there, but I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to come back to that idea about D-Hop possibly being in play also, and Green Bay being one of the possible destinations. But first, we're getting back to this. The heat is on James Harden after a tough night in Game 1 in Miami. Is it already over for the 76ers? We'll answer that question right off the top. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.